The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, we're asking you a question. Can being your parents' favourite child have lifelong consequences? The journalist, author and broadcaster Daisy Buchanan recently wrote a piece where she said that she is certain that her sister was the favourite child. There were six of them. There was one particular sister called Grace, and she said she was the favourite child. The whole family acknowledged it. And the envy of that has defined her whole life. So we wanted to talk about the impact that this can have. I'm joined by Sarah O'Connor, who's president of the Psychological Society of Ireland and a chartered psychologist. Hello, Sarah.
Yes, hello, Claire. How are you?
Lovely to have you with us. Is this a common issue that this can affect us as we go through our lives if we think that we were not the favourite child?
Absolutely. Claire, I should say I'm Sarah Cassidy. My husband would kill me for
I beg your pardon.
The maiden name crime.
giving you a name change. Happy to correct that, Sarah.
Don't worry. O'Connor's the maiden name. So yes, I think that can absolutely carry us through our lives. And I think some of these old childhood injuries, we imagine that when people get older and get more mature, et cetera, that we move on and become more adult-like. But in fact, those age-old injuries, they don't go away just because we grow up. We carry them through our lives sometimes. Mm-hmm.
But you see, parents listening to this will be horrified that they had allowed it to be known that there was a favourite child in the house. But clearly it's happening.
Well, I mean, I think some of this happens sort of by accident. I don't imagine that most parents purposefully choose a favourite child. So, I mean, one thing I'll say to parents, and I'm a parent myself, I have three children. And I mean, I think if you're getting into a territory where, you know, parents are, you know, specifically, purposefully playing one child off another, that's a different category of events. And you know, then we're talking about something, you know, like we might call that narcissistic abuse. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about that on the whole. You know, I think in some instances, one of our kids might be a little bit more like us, and it might be natural that it's sort of easier to be in the company of a child that shares our interests, shares our skills. Maybe that child has a similar sense of humor to us. Or there might be other instances where, let's say you've got a child who's, you know, who's dyslexic, or you know, maybe an autistic child. And then with that child, maybe you're spending more time reading or, you know, working on something that, you know, a teacher or an occupational therapist has suggested you do. Or a child who's in hospital and you necessarily have to spend more time by a hospital bedside. So I think some of this stuff just happens by accident. I don't think as parents, most of the time, that we would intentionally exclude one of the other kids in the family. I mean, maybe, I think sometimes it just happens.
But maybe a parent just has a better relationship with one of their children just because they get on better. You know, that there's a good personality fit there. So they tend to have a very good relationship with one of the children as opposed to the others. Do you know what? Some of the other children might be just like the parent and they might repel each other in a way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that happens. And I think we should face the fact, like, we are human, you know, human beings are fallible. I mean, I think most days it's just a miracle we're all awake and alive and that we've survived. So, I mean, there were five kids growing up in my house. There's six now because we had one that, you know, came much later than the rest. But like in my early childhood years, you know, you know, the murders were daily. Like it's
as was
it's
the case in every house.
But yeah.
But did you? I'm sitting here trying to remember, and I'm fortunate because I think we were all treated equally and fairly. Yeah. Do you have any memories of thinking there was somebody who was the favorite?
Absolutely. I mean, my sister Karen and my younger brother Alfie, definitely we had favorites. Now, when I say that, that's my perception of events. If you asked my siblings, they would say something different. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I have very clear memories. And I mean, I also have clear memories of our neighbors referring to my sister as the pretty one I'm not joking.
Oh my gosh.
I carried that for years. We lived in the States for a number of years, and I returned to Ireland for a visit and, you know, bumped into some old neighbors, and they said, "Now, tell us, is your sister with you, the pretty one?" And that this is years, years later.
Yeah. So so when we talk about the lasting impact that that can have, does that mean that that child, when they become the adult, is always striving to meet the measure of that sibling who was the perfect one, the pretty one, the clever one, the favorite one?
Oh, well, now I ran after my sister, literally, figuratively, metaphorically, all my life. I think that is a natural thing to do. I think, in the earlier years, I think it happens because parents are human and they're pulled in lots of different directions. I think in most instances, it's not purposeful. But I think we carry our childhood attachment injuries. I think those injuries hurt a lot. I think when you feel rejected by your own parents, I think it's a very deep wound, even if it's a perceived wound, not a real or an intentional one. But the other thing too, I think this is important to remember, like if, you know, children need to feel safe, loved, connected, they expect to get that at home. So if we feel like a parent has chosen a sibling over us, you know, that feeling like we're being rejected, that hurts us in a real physiological way. In an evolutionary sense, it's meant to. If our ancestors got left out of the pack, they probably died. So we're supposed to respond to social rejection as though we might die. So I know that sounds like it's really, really dramatic. And parents, you know, who are listening, you might think your kids are responding in this really ferocious way. Mm-hmm. But actually, I would say, hey, if your child's responding that way, that means they've got extraordinary survival instincts. And I want to honor those instincts. As parents, we can try to put some balance back. You know, we can try to, you know, gently communicate to your child what your intention is, but also honor their perspective, because different people in the house are always going to have different perspectives. But those early experiences, they really get baked into our memories and our consciousness and, you know, our family, our home, our tribe, our team, whatever you want to call it, that's meant to be a safe haven.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't feel like it, we're going to remember that.
Okay, so parents, we have to be coramach, be careful. Sarah, thank you so much for being with us. That is Dr. Sarah Cassidy there, who's president of the Psychological Society of Ireland and a chartered psychologist. Back after this.
The Claire Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.